In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be like the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbour. Be like the prodigal son. Realise the state you're in and return to your father. Has anyone ever encouraged you to be like the dishonest manager, rip off your boss? How does that match up? Lucille, Sam, James and Caitlin, with your confirmation preparation. The parable of the dishonest manager that we heard this morning in the gospel throws up a lot of questions. Is Jesus really telling us to follow the example of someone dishonest? Is the steward a good guy or a bad guy? Is he doing a favour for himself, his master, or the debtors when he gets them to reduce what they owe? It is important to remember that this is a parable, not financial management advice. But, you know, 1 minute we have a dishonest manager being commended, and by the end of the passage, we're being encouraged to be honest and faithful and not serve two masters. And as we think of confirmation this morning, these people coming to make a public declaration of following Jesus, a public declaration of their faith, affirming the promises made at their baptism, which is to turn to Christ and repent of your sins, reject selfish living and all that's false and unjust, to renounce all that is evil. How do we reconcile those promises with this parable? I take the parable to be from verses 1 to 8, verse 9, an application of it, and then in verses 10 to 12 and verse 13, we have two further applications. But their connection to the parable is more in terms of word association. That's a little trick of preaching, by the way, sometimes. And they're connected in the sense that they're talking about money and what money can buy, possessions. So I want to mainly focus on the parable. A rich man is told that his steward has been wasting his goods. There's no benefit of the doubt given, but the steward doesn't deny it either or even plead memory loss. He's given notice. And we're not told whether the charges are true or not. Who knows? The steward does not even try and clear his name. His concern is, what is he going to do now that he's facing ruin? And in terms of today's world, the steward wouldn't have just been any employee. We'd think more like a CEO in an organisation. He really does have the authority to act as the rich man's, his master's agent. And he could loan his master's money, sign on his master's behalf. What's he going to do now that he's been fired? There aren't many options to consider. Other than going down the social scale. But, you know, he really is not prepared to become a labourer or a beggar. He's a white-collar worker, not a blue-collar worker. Labouring's too hard. Begging is just too shameful. Instead, he works out a plan so that people will want to know him once he's lost his job. He calls in his master's debtors and reduces their bills. Has to do it quickly while he still has the authority. So one gets cut by half, one by a fifth, they wouldn't have been able to believe their luck. It'd be like us getting a visa bill with half the items left off. Maybe the manager is simply letting them get away with not paying all they owe, or he might be just taking off his commission. They often did that at that time. But verse 4 has made it clear what he's doing. He wasn't trying to get back as much money as he could for his master. No, the steward is trying to make sure there'll be people who will want to know him and maybe help him out, welcome him into their homes. So the parable accepts that he is dishonest in some way. To what extent he's good or bad is not the issue. In verse 8, he is described as a dishonest steward, manager. And it's in that sense that he is commended or praised. It's in that way that he is held up as a model to follow. He is commended, but not for his dishonesty or honesty. The steward is praised for his shrewdness. He is praised for his prudence, for looking after his interests, for being careful to provide for his future. And it's in this sense that he is held up as a model to follow. The master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. It's surprising, it's unexpected, it's shocking. The dishonest manager is a child of this world. Jesus is saying, in their own terms, in their own framework, people of the world are more wise than the people of God. It's not about the right way to do things, who thinks they're worth it, who thinks they've all got it together. Think about it. What do worldly people put all their effort into? Doing well, making money, buying a house, superannuation. You can call it greed, but you know, I tick off a number of those. You can call it greed, but in their own terms, they are doing their best to ensure their future. It's exactly what I'm doing when I'm paying superannuation, when I've made sure that, you know, John and I have actually got a house to retire to, etc. It's all they have to work with and look forward to, and they put 100% effort into it. They're shrewd. The dishonest manager is an example of this sort of shrewdness. And sons and daughters of light, Christians, you and I, can learn from it. The message is, secure your future. That means relying utterly on Jesus. Jesus, who in terms of what he said, what he did, his death, his resurrection, is about as respectable in the world's terms as the dishonest manager. Jesus didn't keep the rules, he consorted with criminals, and he died as a criminal. Jesus goes on to say, verse 9, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. It is a difficult verse. Worldly or unrighteous wealth, dishonest wealth, is not talking about ill-gotten gains here, I don't think. It's saying that possessions are basically of this world, and it's acknowledged that they will fail. But the verse also indicates that they can be used to make friends, friends who will come to you, who will welcome you into the eternal home, heaven. The friends are the counterparts of the debtors in the parable. Some people say they're angels, they could be the poor. We know we come into the kingdom by trusting in Jesus. I turn to Christ is the key promise this morning. But this verse, verse 9 of chapter 16, Luke, seems to support the idea that our possessions, our money, can support the work of the kingdom, can help others, as we love God and our neighbour as ourselves. People who have benefited from our possessions, our wealth, will be glad to see us in heaven. After 2 years of COVID, more than 2 years, nearly three now, a significant time of disruption and change, and world events this year have only served to underline this, churches, along with many other organisations and the wider community, still don't have a strong sense of how everything will unfold, what it all means as we look to the future, as we are called to reimagine the future. It's worth keeping in mind that parables like this about a master and a steward are about God and Israel. Jesus is drawing on a tradition there. And Jesus, like Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading, is warning of an imminent disaster, a huge imminent disaster, whose approach calls all standard practice into question. And times of crisis, being present in the midst of crisis, it's in these times, as hard and as challenging, as disruptive as they are, that God's people are helped to recover their vocation, to gain a clear sense of purpose, at the heart of which is love. And I want to say, as we're directed in 1 Timothy 2, we are called to pray for those who govern us, so for our parliaments here in Australia and for our head of state, the Queen, we have prayed faithfully for, whom we mourn, and King Charles III. Whatever conversations Australia has about future government, we are called as Christians to pray for those who govern over us. And let me say, in terms of the directions about men and women there, I think the thread that runs through it for us to apply to today is, whatever is not about putting the focus on yourself, whether it's waving around your hands or what clothes you're wearing, it's about really focusing on the needs of others. Yes, so let's do that. We are called to do that. What I also want to say is, we will do this, recover our vocation, secure our future, as in a sense we throw caution to the winds and embody the generous love of the Master, of Jesus, for all and sundry. To put it in terms of the theme of the Lambeth Conference, we are God's church for God's world. So I just encourage you to, you know, in a sense, think big and maybe work with a bit of a blank slate for a while and sit with that. Verses 10 to 12 are really talking about how our life is to reflect what we believe. If we're not faithful and honest in what we have on earth, then that really throws up huge questions as to what we are doing with God's treasures. And I must say, isn't it, that everyone who speaks of Queen Elizabeth says her life matched up with her beliefs. Are we? And our question is, and your question, those being confirmed today, are we really being faithful to God? Yes, the dishonest steward is a model. How you live as a Christian is important too. And verse 13 will stop anyone short from thinking money is the answer. You can't serve two masters, either hate the one or love the other, be devoted to one or despise the other. Money, wealth is only good as a tool. It's a very good tool. It's deadly as a master. So these verses give a helpful balance, but don't let them outweigh the parable. It's so easy to try and whitewash Jesus and the gospel, to turn Christianity into a moralising religion. So Lucille, James and Caitlin and Sam, as you seek to live out the promises you're making today, and as I pray for the Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower you, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about following the example of Jesus. Jesus who says, follow the example of the dishonest steward. Be shrewd. Look out for yourself. Ensure your future. Don't try and do the acceptable thing. Trust in Jesus, who is anything but acceptable. He was prepared to die for you and for me and for everyone here and for the whole community. For everyone who is not here.